Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. We've been taking a slow drink from the fountain of grace found in chapter 8 of Romans. I invite you all to just settle in and just grow in God's grace. Last week, we began looking at Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. And we briefly studied the final nine verses of this powerful chapter. We learned that the Apostle Paul puts up five unanswerable questions. Today, we'll dig a little deeper into this well of grace and truth. Let us see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Let us begin with a moment of prayer. Lord God, you are the Jehovah Jireh, the one and only who can provide all things for us. We come with humble and repentant hearts. Come and speak to us again of the wonders and glory of your grace and truth. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Give us a heart to be changed more and more into your image. Holy Spirit, you are welcome today in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, grab your Bible. We're in Romans chapter 8, 31 through 39. If you don't have a Bible, we have members of our church, a couple that bought cases of one-year Bibles. We'll mail you a copy. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We'll get you a Bible. We'll put God's Word in your hand. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Questions, 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 questions. I know that during the past few weeks I've been speaking here and sometimes it's like, taking a fire hose, trying to teach some of the deep and, well, unfathomable doctrines of theology that our good friend the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us. We dove deep into the well of God's foreknowledge, God's predestination, God's calling, God's justification, God's sanctification, God's glorification. From all of that deep theology, I want you to remember this. The work is all of God. God knowing us and loving us before we were ever born. God seeing over the horizon of our lives and calling us to be conformed and transformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. It is all God who justifies us through Christ's death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. All God at work. So remember who it is who is doing all this deep theology. God, not you, not me. And then remember that God's hope and plan is that we are justified, sanctified, and glorified. I read a quote the other day from A.W. Tozer. What a wonderful pastor and teacher he was. He said, "We are saved by accepting Christ as our Savior. We are sanctified by accepting Christ as our Lord. We may do the first without doing the second. Let me say that again. We are saved by accepting Christ as our Savior. We are sanctified by accepting Christ as our Lord. We may do the first without doing the second. Pause and ponder that statement. I pray that Christ is not only your Savior, but He's your Lord. Before we jump into our teaching, I think we'll lighten today's message with a few little jokes. Here we go. My wife always says I need to be a little funny. I'm supposed to smile. I know you can't see me on the radio, but I hope you smile. Teacher, how old is your father?
Child.
He is 6 years old. Teacher, what? How is that possible? The child says, well, he became a father when I was born 6 years ago. Well, the teacher said to Maria, go to the map and find North America. Maria said, here it is. The teacher said, correct. Class, who discovered America? And Maria said, Maria discovered America, right here on the map. Here's another little teacher joke. Teacher said, Clyde, your paper on my dog is the same as your brother's. Did you copy his paper? No, Clyde said, we have the same dog. Well, here's another little teacher joke. Donald, what is the chemical makeup of water? Donald says, H-I-J-K-L-M-O. The teacher says, what are you talking about? Yesterday, you said that water is made up of H2O. Well, there you go. Sometimes, like the little boy with H2O, we wonder what Paul is talking about when it comes to all these doctrines and theology. Sometimes we have more questions than answers. Paul gives us five unanswerable questions that really comes from Romans 8:28, which says, And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Here they are for a quick review. First, who can be against us? No one can be against us because God is for us and God is the greatest force of all. Two, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? God cannot give us any gift that's greater than the gift He's already given us, the gift of His one and only Son. Number three, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? No one will or can because God has already justified His called or elect people, not the world, the flesh, or the devil. And who is He that condemns? No one can condemn you because Christ died, was raised from the dead, and has ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father and is now interceding for us. Let's spend a few moments on this question before we land on our fifth question. Even when the death of Jesus was mentioned, as it is in question two, it is mentioned from the viewpoint of God giving up His Son. Remember that what Paul is teaching us is that God is working and will continue to work to bring about Christ's salvation for us so that we will glorify Him for eternity. Who is He that condemns? Paul asks. Again, there is no answer because Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What Paul is speaking about is the grounds of our justification. Paul gives us four powerful reasons why those who have been justified, just as if we've never sinned, can be assured that we are forever free from condemnation. These reasons, all of which have to do with Jesus Christ and His work on the cross, both past and present. One, Christ's death. Two, Christ's resurrection. Three, Christ being seated at the right hand of God. And four, Christ's continually intercession for us. Well, let's look at these quickly. When I took my first call in a rural small town in the hill country of Missouri, I joined a group of pastors that met every Saturday morning in the local cafe. They had breakfast, and then they would sing a song or two at the top of their lungs, yes, in the restaurant. To be honest with you, at first, I was a little embarrassed. Did I tell you that they would sing a cappella? They would sing, and then they would share a testimony each week. They told me that they would have me share the next week. Oh, boy, was I terrified. What would I say? What could I say? That day, they sang the old hymn that you have probably heard by Catherine Hink. He called, "I Love to Tell the Story." And here's a little bit of the chorus and the verse. "I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme in glory. Tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love." What Paul is telling us is the story and the theme of God's glory. Paul is writing about the assurance we have in Christ and his finished work. Suppose you say to yourself, what if we sin? It is not if we will sin. It is when we sin, we are reminded of the old, old story. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, did Jesus die for my sin or did he not die? If he did, then the punishment for that sin has been undertaken and paid for by Jesus in our place. And there is no one, not even God, who can condemn you for it. Jesus took your condemnation. That is the start of Romans 8, no condemnation. When Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished," John 19, verse 30. And it was finished forever. There is nothing that can ever be added to or taken away. The verb for finished is a perfect tense verb, meaning that the action is completed and continues into the present. Wow. As the great Bible teacher R.A. Torrey said in his writing, I'll read a quote. He says, "I look at the cross of Christ, and I know that atonement has been made for my sins. I look at the open tomb and the risen and ascended Lord, and I know that the atonement at one moment Jesus was made for me with his death on the cross. His atonement for each of us has been accepted. There no longer remains a single sin on me, no matter how many or how great my sins may have been. My sins may have been as high as the mountains, but in the light of the resurrection, the atonement that covers them is as high as heaven. My sins may have been as deep as the ocean, but the light of the resurrection, the atonement that swallows them up as deep as an eternity." Boy, you've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. We'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website, or you can watch our YouTubes and watch the weekly worship services or the weekly messages. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God and grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the power of Christ's death and resurrection. And I read you a wonderful quote from R.A. Torrey. I'd be glad to send it to you. He says, "My sins have been as high as the mountains, but in the light of the resurrection, the atonement that covers them is high as heaven." What a powerful line. The thing that Paul teaches us is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. The ascension of Christ is a doctrine of the church. Well, and it's really not taught much today. What this doctrine does teach is that Christ is glorified. John 17 is one long prayer that Jesus prays before he goes to the garden to be betrayed. In John 17, Jesus prays that his Father would glorify him. Now listen to verses 4 and 5 in John 17. "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." John 17, verses 4 and 5. Pause and ponder the power of those words of this message, of these passages. Jesus laid his glory aside to become a man to accomplish the work of redemption. But now, contemplating the end of his work, he asks for that glory to be restored. Romans 8:35. Listen again to Romans 8:35. "Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Don't miss the point that Paul tells us, and he gives us the answer to the question. Be seated next to God at the right hand, like Jesus is, signifies not only a place of honor, that the work of the cross and the empty tomb were finished. Here is an interesting fact. In the Jewish temple, the priest never sat down. There were no chairs in the temple because the work of the priest was never finished. Paul is sure to tell us here that Christ is seated next to the Father and is interceding. That means praying without ceasing for us, praying for you, praying for me. Christ is praying for us the way he prayed for us in John 17 before he went to the cross. Only now the work of the cross is finished and Jesus is seated by the Father and is praying for each one of us. Let me share a paragraph on this subject from the writings of Donald Gray Barnhouse. And it blessed me, and I hope it blesses you. I'll read it. It says, this is from Dr. Barnhouse. He says, "You do not have a problem too great for the power of Christ. You do not have a problem too complicated for the wisdom of Christ. You do not have a problem too small for the love of Christ. You do not have a sin too deep for the atoning blood of Christ." One of the most wonderful phrases ever spoken about Jesus is that which is found on several occasions in the gospel. It is that Jesus was moved with compassion. He loved men and women, and he loves you. Do you have a problem? He can meet it. He does not matter what it is. The moment that the problem comes to you in your life, he knows all about it. If there is a fear in your heart, it is immediately known to him. If there is a sorrow in your heart, it is immediately a sorrow in his heart. If there is a grief in your heart, it is immediately a grief in his heart. If there is a bereavement in your life or any other emotion that comes to any child of God, the same sorrow, grief, or bereavement is immediately written in the heart of Christ. We find written in the Word of God, "In all their afflictions he was afflicted," Isaiah 63, verse 9. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. This next message, we will concentrate on what can possibly separate us from the love of God. But let us just recap our message today. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? That's verse 31. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." Sin, S-I-N, big I in the middle, spells sin, big I. Son, S-O-N, there's a big O in the middle. There's a difference between sin and son. And it's either I or O. This, friends, is the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son, became our sin. It is finished. Past tense, done. I don't get to see you each week, but I get to speak to you. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your fears or doubt or your guilt or your shame. I don't know the sins that cling so closely. But I can tell you that Jesus loves you and he wants to redeem your life. He not only wants to be your Savior, but he wants to be your Lord. The shame you carry around, it is gone when we ask Jesus into our hearts and accept him as Lord and Savior. The guilt that grinds you to ashes, it is gone when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. The regret that reminds you you are not enough, erased. Who can bring any charge against you? Let me pause. Let's just let that sink in. Who can bring any charge against you? If you believe Jesus is God's one and only Son and that Jesus died for your sins, then no one can bring any charge against you. Why? Because our Savior and Lord is sitting at the right hand of God praying for you. I think that's a mic drop. That's the message over. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. I would encourage you to go back and read Romans 8. Romans 8 begins with, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:28, it says, we read it earlier, that he's going to be working out all things for good for those who are called according to his purposes. And then we get to the Romans 8:31, which we've been spending a lot the last couple weeks, and we'll have one more week in this. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? I say this each week. I really do. I pray that you'll know that God is for you. God is for you no matter what your circumstances are. God is with you no matter where you've been. It's never too late to turn back to God. It's never too late to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's never too late to, you know, repent and turn around. Remember the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took on our sin and said, it is finished. That's the good news. He says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? My prayer each week is that you'll come to know the love of God, to really, really know the love of God. And you'll know this love of God that starts to transform your heart, and that you accept this grace, this outrageous, unconditional, inexorable grace of Jesus Christ, and that you'll grow in that grace, come to know the love of God, to grow in that grace of Jesus Christ, and to go out into your family, go out into your work, go out into your world, your church, and sow seeds of faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our mission statement here at The Seed is know God's love, grow in Christ's grace, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. That's my prayer for you. Let us pray. Well, today, Lord, we come to you. We come to you to receive the good news, the gospel. That's what the good news is. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died, rose again, and is seated at the right hand, interceding or praying for us. That's the good news, Lord, that we come to hear. Help us as we gather each week to really know this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to, if you want a copy of these manuscripts, I've got manuscripts, I've got passages on God's promises. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. And we're praying right now that you'll know without a shadow of doubt there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who could be against us? Listen, God didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? My prayer is that you'll really know that. God loves you, and so do I. I pray the Lord's blessing upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.